Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
We're going to be taking a look at the attacks, the blast, and the instability that's happening just above Israel's northern border. And now what? What will be? We're going to be speaking with an IDF lieutenant colonel in the reserves who is going to be giving us an update on what is going on Israel's northern border. Recently, there has been trouble up there with Hezbollah terrorist attacks on Israel. And in the midst of this, there was a huge explosion that rocked Beirut, Lebanon, last week, killing over 150 people, wounding at least 5,000 people, and leaving approximately 300,000 Beirut residents homeless because they're apartments and their homes were destroyed. Reports say that this blast has devastated the port area of the city, causing damage estimated between $10 to $15 billion. The Lebanese authorities are blaming the explosion on mismanagement by port officials, but there's reason to suspect that it was the result of Hezbollah negligence. Interestingly enough, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned the world almost 2 years ago about the Hezbollah hiding missiles in the city of Beirut when he held up a placard with a map showing the Hezbollah precision missile sites hidden in Beirut. Since the explosion, there have been large demonstrations by its citizenry, some of which have turned violent, with government ministry buildings being taken over and fires set. Lebanon's Minister of Information announced her resignation Sunday, becoming the first member of the government to do so since the explosion, and protests are still going on in Beirut. A report from the UK's The Sun headlines that Lebanon's president knew about the huge explosive stockpile weeks before the blast. We're going to be learning all about what's happening on Israel's northern border when we get back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Well, if you've been paying any attention to the news here in Israel, you'll know that last week we've seen attacks, blasts, and instability on Israel's northern border with Lebanon and what is happening there. And our guest today is going to be filling us in on this threat that we have from the Hezbollah terrorist organization, which has nested itself in Lebanon and controls much of the government there. Our guest is Reserve IDF soldier, Lieutenant Colonel Sarit Zahavi. She is the CEO and founder of ALMA, a nonprofit and an independent research and education center specialized in Israel's security challenges on its northern border. Sarit has briefed hundreds of groups and forums ranging from U.S. senators, congressmen, and other politicians to senior journalists and visiting VIP groups in Israel and overseas. Sarit authors position papers and updates focusing on Lebanon, Syria, and Israel's national security challenges. She served for 15 years in the Israeli Defense Forces, specializing in military intelligence, and she holds an MA in Middle East Studies. She lives with her husband and five children in Israel's Western Galilee, located in the north of Israel. You can check on the map there where the Western Galilee is. And you can visit their website at Israel-Alma.org. So welcome to the show, Sarit Zahavi.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
All right. So you are constantly updating the Israeli government and other people as well on what's happening on the border with Lebanon. And you have seen, as the rest of us, last week, attacks by the Hezbollah terrorist organization, as well as a huge explosion that has killed at least 150 people and wounded at least 5,000 people, leaving approximately 300,000 Beirut residents homeless. And this, reports say, is due to the Hezbollah hiding some type of missiles or explosives in the city of Beirut, which, by the way, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu exposed to the United Nations almost 2 years ago, showing where these sites were, that the Hezbollah was holding these dangerous weapons and supplies, etc. So with all of that, what do you expect that, you know, Israel needs to be watching for on Israel's northern border?
Say a few words before going to the northern border of Israel. I want to say a few words about what happened in Beirut and the connection to what Netanyahu said in the UN. This is not the same place. Hezbollah is probably holding weapon depots across Beirut in various areas, including the seaport that was destroyed. But the areas that Alma exposed in the report a month ago and the areas that Netanyahu exposed 2 years ago are located a little bit to the south and to the west from the area of the explosion, not in the same area, closer to the airport than to the seaport. As for the implication on Israel's northern border, my understanding and our understanding here in Alma is that Hezbollah now is extremely busy with what happened in Beirut, meaning that when we speak about the capabilities of Hezbollah to carry out a terrorist attack at this time against Israel, this is very limited because I believe that most of its manpower is now dedicated to what happened in Beirut, either in civilian aspects, meaning to help the population, its supporters, given the humanitarian aid they need, or half civilian, half military aspect, meaning control damage of going to all these maybe tens or hundreds of warehouses of rockets across Beirut to make sure that the rockets will not be exposed, to see what happens and control damage. And third, to hide any trace to its own weapon inside the seaport itself and that it will expose more proof to what specifically happened in the explosion. So that's why I don't see Hezbollah carrying out a terrorist attack to Israel, at least in the next few weeks.
All right. I've read some reports that have not been confirmed that Nasrallah, who heads the Hezbollah terrorist organization and who lives in a bunker in southern Lebanon, that he and other senior Hezbollah leaders have escaped overnight to Syria. Now, I don't have that confirmed, but knowing the resistance now of many Lebanese calling out loud in public, which they were afraid to do before, calling the Hezbollah terrorists and ousting many of their, taking over the buildings of their ministries, etc. Do you think that Hezbollah is going to keep a presence in Lebanon right now with all what's going on?
It's hard to believe for me that Nasrallah actually escaped the country. That's first thing. Second, protests against Hezbollah didn't start today. The hate to Hezbollah among Christian and Sunni circles in Beirut didn't start with the explosion. The blame for the situation in Lebanon and for the poor economic situation in Lebanon did it start from the explosion. We've seen this protest started. People went out to the streets since October 19, and including during the COVID-19. And now it's much more many people because people became homeless. They have nowhere else to go, so they are demonstrating. But I don't know yet, and maybe it's too soon to tell, whether this protest also comes from the traditional supporters of Hezbollah. I think this is the biggest question, whether Hezbollah is truly facing a crisis with its own supporters. And I'm not sure this is the situation. In order to understand that, we are trying to follow what is happening not only in Beirut, but also at the Syrian-Lebanese border or at the Syrian-Israeli border in South Lebanon. These are the two areas of support of Hezbollah, the main two areas of support of Hezbollah. Among the Shiite population. You must remember that the explosion affected mainly areas which are populated with Christians and Sunnis and less Shiites, which are living further to the south in Beirut. And that's why these demonstrations you see, I am not sure that the participants in these demonstrations, in this protest, are people that traditionally used to support Hezbollah. Yes, they have more courage now to blame Nasrallah specifically for the explosion, and we see an escalation with expressions against Nasrallah, but it's too soon to tell whether it is truly endangering the position of Hezbollah in Lebanon. And I must add one more thing. In the end of the day, if Hezbollah will succeed in containing this protest, it may become even stronger following this explosion, because it may take advantage of all the money that is going to come into Lebanon and the humanitarian aid to its own advantage.
So you're saying that they may take this money that's meant to help the victims, that the Hezbollah will actually swallow this money themselves and use it to strengthen themselves?
Money, or using the flights, already two flights of humanitarian aid landed from Iran. So maybe these flights were truly of humanitarian aid, but I'm not sure that all the flights from Iran in the next 2 months will be completely about humanitarian aid, and nobody would tell them not to. Nobody would stop them. And I think that the main challenge of people in the West, that including Israel, that wants to assist Lebanon now, and this is the human and the right thing to do to assist Lebanon now, the main challenge is to make sure that this assistance will finally get to the Lebanese people and not to Hezbollah or any other corrupted leader over there.
Now, I know that Israel values life and wants to have peace with our neighbors. Is it the correct thing for Israel to even get involved, though, with the after effects of what happened? Because when we saw when Israel's north was on fire a few years ago and we were suffering terribly and other nations came to help, Lebanon, all these other countries just were just very okay with it happening. They didn't offer their help at all.
Well, for us Israelis, we don't expect Lebanon to help us, but we would reach out our hands to help Lebanon. This is something that is very obvious, I think, to most of us.
Obviously.
Oh, no doubt that Israel is in a better situation than Lebanon, even in times of crisis like the fire that you mentioned. And Lebanon is experiencing a very poor situation even before the explosion. So I don't see any problem with giving them help. On the contrary, if we would give them help, our benefit would be that they would see that we want to help them. We genuinely want to help them, and we do care about them, and we can be good neighbors.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to have to hold it right there because we have to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking more about what's happening on Israel's northern border and Israel's security concerns. If you have a comment or question, would like to call in, our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, so we're talking about attacks, blasts, and instability just above Israel's northern border in Lebanon. And now what? Our guest is Reserve IDF soldier Lieutenant Colonel Sarit Zahavi, who is the CEO and founder of ALMA. It's a nonprofit and independent research and education center specializing in Israel's security challenges on the northern border. So, Sarit, on the last segment, we were talking about the huge blast that took place in Beirut and how it has affected the people there and Israel's relationship with them. Before I ask you my next question, let's go to a caller. And I want to remind everybody, if you do have a question for our guest, Sarit, you can call in. And our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We have joining us Shoshana from Ashkelon. Shalom, Shoshana.
Shalom. So, Keith, the way I'm looking at Hezbollah, it's so entwined in the government there. How can the world help Lebanon, which used to be, the Paris of the Middle East? How can we
help the people not by not and avoid helping Hezbollah. Thank you for your answer. Thank you.
Shoshana, if you know that that Beirut and Lebanon are the pearl of the Middle East, you probably, like my grandmother, know that from your own experience, what it used to be and what it is today. That's the $1 million question. I think that the best way is strict supervision, actually nominating inspectors to make sure where the money is going, to have control management systems that would make sure that, I don't know, whether it's specific humanitarian aid or money, doesn't matter, gets to the hands of the people and see the development, check the development in people's life. It's very easy to measure whether tents were built, hospitals or schools, or if they were not built, so where did it go? The greater challenge in this is to trace the leaders of the protest, if there are any. I'm not sure. And if you find them, to see if they, businessmen, maybe businessmen, women that are doing business in Lebanon, or ex-Lebanese, it's our businessmen and women, and maybe to try to work with them.
I want to remind all of our listeners that Lebanon is a mostly, or at least was mostly, a secular country. They are more business-minded, and we could have had a good chance to have some type of peace or relationship with them. I know that Menachem Begin, when he was the Prime Minister of Israel, was trying to hammer out some type of peace treaty with them because they were less religious fanatics and more business-minded. As Shoshana said, Sarit, it was the Paris of the Middle East, they used to call it, and it was a very fragile but cooperative meeting between the Christian Lebanese and the Islamic Lebanese, where they would share the government. One would be the president, one would be the prime minister, and that was going on until, of course, the terrorists took over and tilted the country in an even more hostile direction. But Sarit, about Lebanon and Israel's relationship with us, with the Hezbollah embedded in southern Lebanon, and after we've had wars with them before, we had the first Lebanon war, the second Lebanon war, that was basically with the Hezbollah there, and the UN saying that they were going to make sure that the Hezbollah missile stockpile was not going to be replenished, and indeed, somehow the UN looked the other way and they have even more missiles, that's what reports say, than they had even beforehand when we had those wars with them. How many missiles are we talking about?
Hezbollah tripled the amount of missiles in South Lebanon in the UN area of operation. The problem is that resolution, Security Council Resolution 1701, that ended the second war with Lebanon, it didn't say specifically that the UN is the one that should prevent Hezbollah from holding weapons there. And there are two interpretations to the resolution. The Israeli one says the UN should supervise and make sure it would not happen, and that South Lebanon is an area that is free of any illegitimate weapon. The other interpretation, which of course is the interpretation of the UN itself and of the Lebanese, is that the UN should assist the Lebanese army enforce the resolution and make sure that South Lebanon is not used for any illegitimate weapon. Bottom line is neither of these, neither the Lebanese army nor the UN, succeeded or even tried to stop Hezbollah from having this kind of weapon. And today Hezbollah is hiding about 40,000 I'm saying artillery, because it's different kinds of rockets and mortars and missiles that are targeting Israel from this area of operation, from the Blue Line to the Litani River next to the border. And on top of that, about 100,000 more in Lebanon in general, in various places, including in Beirut, by the way.
So you're saying that there are 40,000 missiles from the Hezbollah that are pointing towards Israel in the southern Lebanese zone where the UN is, plus another 100,000 missiles?
Yes.
That's hard to fathom. And those other 100,000 missiles, are they all pointed at Israel, or are they at other places that Lebanon borders?
No, Lebanon do not, or Hezbollah do not launch missiles from Beirut or from South Lebanon to Syria, for example. The battle with Syria, the battles that Hezbollah participated were either inside Syria or on the Syrian-Lebanese border, where Hezbollah used mainly infantry forces against ISIS. The missiles were meant to be launched to Israel.
So you're saying that there's 140,000 missiles aimed at Israel?
Around this number. This is the IDF evaluation. And I guess this is not true.
This is just unfathomable, as I said. And tell us now how the Hezbollah, which is again a proxy of Iran, how do they maintain control in Lebanon? How do they have their tentacles in the Lebanese government and keep the Lebanese residents, Christians as well, Christian Lebanese, under their thumbs?
Okay. Christian Lebanese, I will start from the end of your question. Christian Lebanese is complicated, meaning that some of them do support Hezbollah, like the circles that are identified with the president, with President Aoun, but there are others that are completely against Hezbollah, which are part of the protesters that you see all over the media today. That's for the Christians. But your question is very important, but because it's all connected to what we discussed before. Hezbollah, main strength, comes from its civilian systems, and it's a, you know, it's a hybrid system of military and civilian, meaning that you have Hezbollah is like a terrorist army. I'm not even saying a terrorist group; it's a terrorist army. It's a political party. It is a member in the parliament and controls the government. Most of the ministers of the government of Lebanon are either members of Hezbollah or affiliated with the coalition of Hezbollah, and it's a social movement. And I want to say two words about social movement. Hezbollah supplies to the population, mainly to the Shiite population in Lebanon, everything you can think of civil society, and in many cases, instead of the services that the government should have supplied, like education, welfare services, medical services, loans, studies outside of Lebanon, social events. Hezbollah is involved in the funerals and in the birth. And a person that is born in South Lebanon in a Shiite town, most of South Lebanon is populated with Shiite population, cannot skip Hezbollah, cannot avoid Hezbollah's presence in its life. And that's how eventually Hezbollah succeeds in putting these rockets in the homes, either under the homes or inside the homes, because it has such a huge system of civil society. And that's why I've said that I'm very much afraid that the humanitarian aid will end up in these hands. So a small example, when you look at the seaport now that is ruined, and you look at the rescue forces, you will find Hezbollah health organization among these forces with small trucks over there hanging around, maybe for civilian aid, maybe for military activity. Nobody exactly knows.
Wow. So how is Israel going to cope with having the Hezbollah still in power, having 140,000 missiles pointed at us, having their using their own civilians in Lebanon as human shields? How does Israel purport to be able to protect itself when it's up against such an entity?
In order to answer your question, I want to tell you about a small conversation that I had this morning with one of my neighbors, an Arab person. I live in the Galilee, Jews and Arabs live together. And, you know, we started to talk that the fact that I love to live here because it's fun that we are in very good relationship. And we talked about Beirut. And he said, you know, who is to be blamed from what happened in Beirut? It's Israel. And I told him, no way, Israel is not connected to what happened. He said, no, this is what the Lebanese are saying. It's Israel. It's not what all the Lebanese are saying, of course. Why am I telling you all of that? Because Israel, in the past 7 years, had a campaign named the Campaign Between the Wars in Syria, and targeted hundreds of targets in Syria were attacked by Israeli...
You know what, Sarit? Hold on to that thought. We have to take a break. We're going to be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is IDF Reserve Soldier Lieutenant Colonel Sarit Zahavi, and she's an expert on what's going on Israel's northern border. And in the last segment, Sarit, you were talking about how you were speaking with an Arab friend of yours who was telling you that the explosion that took place in Beirut was Israel's fault. So how, again, did he spin that?
Okay, so what I was trying to say is that, of course, no way Israel is involved, and it was part of my answer to you about what's the Israeli policy with regard to this threat of tens of thousands of rockets that are targeting Israel. And the reason that I gave this example of this morning, of this small conversation with this neighbor, is because just look at the pure fact. Israel attacked hundreds of times in Syria in the past 7 years against Iranian military targets and Hezbollah military targets in order to stop these munitions from ending in the hands of Hezbollah in Lebanon or threatening Israel from Syria. Not a single civilian was killed in these hundreds of attacks. Moreover, in the past 7 years, at the same time, where we know we have so many rockets in Lebanon, you didn't hear on a single Israeli attack in Lebanon. And I think to answer your question about the Israeli policy is to try to prevent military threats against Israel, but without having this kind, at least in routine time, at least in the campaign between the wars, without having any collateral damage whatsoever. And since in Lebanon these rockets are hidden inside civilian population, I don't see the IDF trying to carry out this kind of attack in the seaport, which would endanger civilians. So what can be done? What Israel has been doing? And how come in the past 14 years the border was almost quiet, not always, not all the time, not in the past months, but in general, we lived normal life over here in the north. That's thanks to one very important principle, which is deterrent. IDF created an effective deterrent against Hezbollah that is relying on very good intelligence of what is happening inside the organization and where it is located, of relying on a lot of public messages that's saying, we know where you are, and if you will endanger us, we can get you. Relying on the preparedness of the IDF and a lot of training and exercise in during the years, with a lot of inventions and using new techniques, and relying on defensive developments such as the Iron Dome, even including the drill to the population, to create a kind of active defense for the people in the north. I think the combination of all of that together and the fact that Hezbollah is aware of our capabilities today created effective deterrent and made the north of Israel a relatively safe place to live in.
All right. And so still the Hezbollah is in power. And as you said, they're right over there at the site where the explosion took place, as if to give assistance. We don't know whether that's true or not. You said it could be just to make sure that nobody else is snooping around. We don't know what. But we need to keep our eye on the northern border. So where does your organization come in? Is it, I understand it's a private organization, yet you write papers on it. I'm sure that the Israeli government reads these things. So what is the importance of ALMA?
My vision when I founded ALMA a few years ago was to provide information to people from outside of Israel. My first priority is not the Israeli government. It's people outside of Israel. Doesn't matter whether it's policymakers or opinion makers or anybody else who consume information about the Israel security challenges on the north. Because I felt that when people try to find information about Israel security, what they get eventually is answers that are dealing mainly with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And not too much attention is given, not enough attention is given to what is happening here on the northern border and to the fact actually that Iran, and before Iran it was also ISIS, meaning radical Muslim movements, are those who are shaping what is happening here, not only on the border, but also in general in the Middle East. And it's not the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that is shaping the Middle East, that is influencing the Middle East. It's the Middle East that is influencing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And this is why it was important to me to establish ALMA, to give, you know, an expertise on this specific topic. And before the COVID-19, we hosted tens of groups each month on Israel's northern border, so people would be able to come here and see for themselves how we live, how it is to live on a border with tension, how close Hezbollah is to our communities, and what we experience over here.
So what do you think Israel needs to do before we go? What does Israel need to do in order to make sure that its northern residents are not going to be victims under these 140,000 missiles that Hezbollah presently has pointed at Israel, and that the UN is not doing anything about to protect Israel in any way whatsoever? How are we supposed to take care of that?
So basically, I will divide my answer to two. Basically, we should continue to do what we had done until today, which is establishing an effective deterrent against Hezbollah, being prepared for the worst, reaching our hand to peace. Okay, that's the basic principles. But of course, the explosion in Beirut can be an opportunity. I'm saying that in a very painful feeling to say that, but you know, there is a sentence from the War of the Worlds. I don't know if you're familiar with this piece of music, and there is a sentence there that maybe from the ashes something beautiful will grow. So maybe from the ashes of the seaport in Beirut, something beautiful will grow that will bring hope not only for the Lebanese, but also for the Israeli-Lebanese relationship.
So tell me, Sarit, if the Hezbollah is so consumed by hatred for Israel, what is to stop them? I mean, even if they die themselves, they use their own citizens as human shields. What's to stop them? You say that has to be an Israeli deterrent, but what exactly is that deterrent that's going to stop them from trying to open fire on us?
Again, it's always a combination. On the one hand, when I'm saying deterrent, I clearly mean that IDF needs to make sure that Hezbollah understands that any attack against Israel will be met with an Israeli attack back that will cause Hezbollah a lot of damage, and the price for Hezbollah will be higher than the price for Israel. This is a very important message, and I think that Nasrallah gets the message. And second, again, in light of what happened in Beirut, this is a chance to try to create alternative civil society organizations in Lebanon to create an alternative to Hezbollah, because today the Shiites in Lebanon don't have any alternative. Of course, Israel is not the one to do so, yes?
Right. Okay. And can Israel, help encourage those Lebanese that are demonstrating today in the streets against the Hezbollah? Are they able to?
No. I wouldn't recommend Israel to do anything in high profile to assist the protest, because in a minute they would be blamed to be Zionist agents. So Israel should say, we can only damage this effort.
So you're saying just to stay out of it and just let things take its course?
Yes. If we want them to succeed, we should stay out of it.
All right. Well, anybody who wants to find out more about what's happening on the northern border can go to the website of ALMA, and it's israel-alma.org. And we will post a link to their website on the page where this show is podcasted. And then you can get updates and you can follow what is going on there. And you can follow Sarit Zahavi and the work that she's doing and that her team is doing at ALMA. Thank you so much, Sarit, for coming on the show and giving us an update of what's going on the northern border.
Thank you for having me.
Stay safe. Stay safe. All right. And that's the show for you today. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to write me at Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Of course, it is all of our prayers that all innocent people everywhere are safe and can live in peace and harmony. And Israel's always holding out its hands for peace with its neighbors. And we hope that out of this terrible blast, that it will propel some goodness somewhere where there can be some steps towards more peaceful relations with Lebanon and its people there. And I want to thank you again for being with us, everybody. And you can again write me if you have any comments or questions about the show, Tamar at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with us.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.